I speak to you in the name of the God who comforts his people. Amen. When I was among the crowd, I raised my right fist and there was a roar. I had not been able to do that for 27 years, and it gave me a surge of strength and joy. We stayed among the crowd for only a few minutes before jumping back into the car for the drive to Cape Town. Although I was pleased to have such a reception, I was greatly vexed by the fact that I did not have a chance to say goodbye to the prison staff. As I finally walked through those gates to enter a car on the other side, I felt, even at the age of 71, that my life was beginning anew. My 10,000 days of imprisonment were over. On February the 11th, 1990, Nelson Mandela walked through the gates of the prison on Robben Island. It was where South Africa sent political prisoners, most of them black, to serve long, isolated, harsh prison terms. For 27 painful years, Mandela stayed on Robben Island, which over the centuries had served as a leper colony, a lunatic asylum, and a naval base, as well as a prison. For his involvement with the African National Congress, Nelson Mandela was not only sent to prison, he was sent into exile. For 27 years, for 10,000 days. But our individual fortunes are often steered by events beyond us. So while Nelson Mandela languished and marked the endless days of exile on Robben Island, the world was pushing at South Africa. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, himself nearly immune to imprisonment, stood before the world in the darkest days and pled for justice, humanity, and God's shalom. Led by Louis Sullivan and his Sullivan principles of investment, actually disinvestment, most of the world withdrew its economic support for South Africa, effectively isolating the apartheid kingdom. Even internally, people grew weary of terror, torture, and murder, not to mention continued oppression, racism, and fear. Until finally it became an embarrassment to keep Nelson Mandela imprisoned, and he left Robben Island for freedom. After 10,000 days, his term had been served, and he had paid more than any penalty that could have been set. Imagine the ending of Nelson Mandela's exile, and you will hear the joy and relief of the people of Israel when Cyrus, the king of Persia, conquered Babylon and set the people free to go back to Jerusalem. The end of their suffering has been preserved by the one known as Second Isaiah. This morning, in the full light of Advent, we have heard the beginning of this book of comfort and consolation. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. For more than double Mandela's 27 years, the people of Israel languished far from home, in exile as painful as the island prison of the South Africans' endurance. Surely we sinned, some of them must have sobbed, else our God would not have done this to us. Surely Mandela's hands could not have been clean, the story went, for the African National Congress was a cover for violent overthrow of the government. And the hardest part of exile is the constant anxiety over why and when will it ever end. But one day, when the time has come, the exile is over and the term has been served. On that day, the questions of why are buried by the joy of release. No wonder people came all the way to the river to get closer to the shouting messenger in the water. No wonder the people of Jerusalem cast off their cloaks had hurried through the sand and the briars to feel the water cool their heads and forgiveness set them free. In almost a half century of ordained ministry, I have heard about 25 or 30 confessions. Yes, we have sacramental confession in our church. It is quieter and more personal than in other churches. Most people never approach sacramental reconciliation or ever learn its power. But once in a while, somebody, hearing ancestral voices from exile or hunched on the riverbanks of the Jordan, begins to test the path to the water and begins to hope that the term of sin may be ending. Hearing confessions is far and away the hardest thing I have had to do in my ministry. It is difficult to listen to a woman opening her heart and letting the past pour out. It is emotionally draining to sit next to a man who speaks unspeakable things and cries while doing so. But when the tears are dry and the sins have been let free, I have the privilege of saying these words: go in peace. The Lord has put away all your sins. And I swear to you that the place of the confession suddenly becomes a room in Babylon. And I can hear the astounding words cradled by a God who aches like a mother when her children are suffering. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid. I have to admit that much of the time I don't think about the fate of the people of Israel or the people of Jerusalem or even Nelson Mandela, now gone to his rest. However, I have spent my share of hours and my portion of sorrow wondering when terms of exile will end. For the endurers of cancer and cancer treatments in this parish community, whose patience and courage had to stretch thinner and thinner, for those who bear disabilities and the mystery of their cause and their justice, for those who languish in the prisons of addiction or abuse or poverty or oppression, internal personal exiles, all of them, can this be the season of hope? Well, it depends on what we think of God, whether we believe God is present in the things that happen to us. Isaiah's words would have been meaningless in the ears of people who no longer thought God could lift the valleys or lower the mountains. John's desert shouting would have stirred nobody's hearts except for those who knew their hearts to be sinful and in need of release. So I make no promises, and I can post no assurances. Those who live outside the Advent rhythm will see only troubles and recognize only politics or manipulation or see medical clinics or lawyers' offices. But those who live within the comfort of God will hear the tender words, and they will know when their term has ended. Nelson Mandela concludes his autobiography with these words: I have walked that long road to freedom. I have tried not to falter. I have made missteps along the way. But I have discovered the secret that after climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. I have taken a moment here to rest, to steal a view of the glorious vista that surrounds me, to look back on the distance I have come. But I can rest only for a moment, for with freedom come responsibilities, and I dare not linger, for my long walk is not yet ended. God's tender cry to the people of Israel not only ended their term of exile, but it also set them back on a journey back to Jerusalem to rebuild the holy city, to restore justice and God's peace within its walls. If you were to leave sacramental confession with your sins merely lifted and no resolve to amend your life, the tender words would only be half true. If you find your exile ended this morning, and do not do your best to make the desert straight and the rough places plain, God's promise will die with you. And that would be a shame, because the whole world needs to be blessed. Amen.